Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hello and welcome to Nobody Panic.
It's me, Tessa.
And me, Stevie. As we all know, it's Halloween tomorrow.
So Halloween.
So we thought, or should we say Sween, which is what it
used to be called. Sween.
Yeah, but it's spelled Samhain, but
you used to pronounce Samhain Sween.
In the old Celtic way of pronouncing it, yes.
Oh, I think there's gonna be so much learning on this podcast.
I think it's open to
say
interpretation.
How you wish.
Say how you wish. And we thought, well, basically, I'm obsessed with witches and magic and stuff, and so is Tessa. And we thought, well, this would be fun to do like a thing about how you can, obviously, how to be a witch is quite a reductive title, but we couldn't think of another way to do it.
Disclosure. I thought of the title, and Stevie said, no. And she says, that's the same as saying how to be a Catholic, because a witch is a proper religious term
mm-hmm.
for an actual religion.
Yes, a faith.
Sorry, there's going to be a lot of learning.
That's fine.
And I'm going to try my very best.
It's okay. It's natural, as will I. I'm not one.
It's faith. What was the suggestive title?
How to kind of witch up your life or bring elements of witchcraft to improve your life.
Absolutely.
That's very long and boring. How to be a witch is way better.
We just want those clickbaity, sweet listen. Yes. Also, if the witches rise up in vitriol, I'm ready for it.
Okay, sure. Are you?
What
are you ready to be cursed?
We're trending because everyone's so upset with us.
I don't think they will be because...
That's my hope.
Okay, great. Well, that's your hope and that's my fear. No, I think one thing that about witchcraft, which I found really interesting because I basically did loads of research into it last year because I was obsessed and I was writing loads of articles about it. Witchcraft isn't like a religion like a Christianity or, I don't know, Islam or something, where it's one big thing mm-hmm. and you follow these things and then you are a witch. Like, it's not like that. There's so many different types. So Wiccan is a type of witchcraft. Voodoo is a type of witchcraft. Shamanism is a type of witchcraft. And it's kind of all paganism, basically, like the occult. It's very, like, blurred as to what exactly all the categories are from what I've found when I've been, like, interviewing people about it, which means that you can just, like, dip your toe in. You can, like, read some tarot cards on a full moon. If you want to call yourself a witch, then I guess maybe officially you probably do have to do a little bit more than that. But what's so nice about witchcraft is that it's like a really chilled out vibe. I interviewed some witches in a Brixton craft beer pub and we drank 3 bottles of wine and I stayed till 2 in the morning and it was supposed to be a half an hour interview at 6 p.m. So it was great. And then I'd also realised that I'd recorded like 8 hours of conversation. Like, I'm not going to be able to transcribe any of this. And it's just going to be me and them drunk. They were Wiccan and they were actually high priestesses of 3 covens in...
That's what I want.
Yeah, like in South London. So Wicca is a more formalised thing. You get initiated into it. You will be a member of a coven or you can practice alone, but you have to go through certain stages to become Wiccan. But witchcraft in general, that I just got the vibe that it was really like open, and what was so nice is that it's men and women as well, and there seems to be no infighting. There's no like our faith is the right one, and some witches like believe in gods and goddesses, like the Greek gods and gods. Some just believe in kind of life force, and then you just, the whole core of witchcraft is that everything has like a life force and it's just about guiding it and with like through yourself, sort of like feng shui or
so much my jam,
making jam.
Questions.
Oh my god, please.
What do they do in the coven?
Well, actually, it's fully secret. So when I asked them, they were like, we don't spread the secrets.
Was it suggested how you might get in the coven?
Yeah, you have to be a Wiccan.
This
I feel
is
like
your
that would
Watergate.
Be wrong.
Get in.
You can start a coven. Anyone, it's not just a Wiccan thing.
Yeah, but
thing.
I won't. I'll just make up some stuff.
I imagine it's like it spells and it's celebrating full moons. If one of them has like something that they really need to work through, then all of them will contribute to working a spell or a ritual. But it's all very like hoods and out in the forest and like
they go in a forest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All of that business. There are loads of books on it that you can read about what happens in a coven meeting and like all the different hierarchical things of like how you become a high priestess and all that business. You can read it. There's loads of books. I would highly recommend Silver Ravenwolf. That's where I did all my research. She's written loads of books on Wicca and they're
her
so
name
good.
Is Sylvia Ravenwolf?
Silver Ravenwolf. If you're Wiccan, often you will have like a magical name as well as your normal name, which shows that you are now in the, as part of the faith. That's how other witches will refer to you.
Got it.
Yeah, fine. What adult thing have you done this week?
Look, I'm just too busy thinking whether I feel cynical about the Silver Raven Wolf.
Oh, about the name.
I'm just deciding
but
how I feel.
Again, what's great about it is you don't have to do that. That's the thing that I really loved about researching it, was that, so if I was like, I'd like to be Wiccan, they often say for like a year and a day, you kind of...
A year and a day?
Dedicate yourself to kind of learning all the stuff, connecting with other Wiccans, and then maybe approaching a coven or whatever. I actually don't know how that bit works. But the idea that if I did it and then was like, oh, actually, that sort of is cringy for me. Like, Wiccans often believe in goddesses.
I want to do it.
Well, I don't think they don't kill badgers because they believe in looking after all animals. And okay. That's the highest thing about looking after the planet and being very environmental and all of that, because that helps the kind of good life force and all of that business. But if I wanted to just retract it immediately, I could, with no ill will, just be like, I think I'm going to be like an eclectic witch, which is a type where you just take little bits from where you want. You can just choose, and then no one will go, well, you're going to hell, because hell doesn't exist. It's all very positive. So if you were like, I'd like to be Wiccan, but I don't want to change my name to like Storm Dragon.
I do like that, actually.
Yeah, there we go. Then you could just be someone that doesn't have that name. Like, that's fine. You don't have to do it.
It sounds very, very nice.
It's very chilled out. Let's talk about adult things. After pause, thank you.
Have a break. And I'll tell you about my pants. I've thrown them away.
So your adult thing is you've thrown away all your pants.
No. I have been doing... and maybe in the future we all will do sort of like a capsule wardrobe episode.
I have been thinking about this for a long time.
Me too. I obviously buy pants a lot. It's obviously clearly my jam. Are you au fait with my feelings about socks? Are we just constantly buying new socks?
Like, oh,
really cheap Primark.
I understand
socks.
That. I do that too. And then I lose them.
Yeah.
And where did they fucking go?
I just love to put on a new sock.
Yes, I understand.
I also, when I'm going away or doing anything, buy a pack of pants from Marks and Spencer's.
Okay. That's great.
Yes, I know. I've combined really liking new pants with believing all my clothes are sentient and I don't want to throw them away because they'll be upset.
Of course, yes.
Let me tell you, I thought, I wonder if that is a phenomenon that other people find very hard to throw their clothes away.
I
googled, can't throw my pants away, I feel sorry for them. There was so much weird shit.
Yes, I can imagine.
Google that. Anyway, so I can't throw anything away. Have done this thing where I put all my pants together as one and was like, this is insanity, and everything that had like holes in and some of them have been doing their time since secondary school, and that is too long.
That is too long for pants.
That is just let them go. Say thank you, let them go.
Yeah.
And now I only have good pants.
That's really great. You've now got capsule pants.
I've got capsule pants.
And when you go away, you will take those capsule pants away with you rather than be like, just buy some more.
Exactly.
I don't think I have enough pants, so
I can't tell you. You have done some of mine.
No, I think that would be weird. Mine is that actually occurred to me today. I had a meeting today, and we'd organised it before I went on holidays, like months ago. And then I looked at where she worked or whatever, and went there, got there, and sometimes the reception thing will like send an email to the person who you're waiting to see. And I got an email being like, "Oh, I've just got an email saying you're at my place, but I'm at Fernandez and Wells and Tottenham Court Road," which was about half an hour away. I'd basically turned up to the wrong place. I haven't done that in a long time because I used to do it all the time. So then I learnt, too late really, to just double, triple, quadruple check everything before
Every
I go anywhere.
Every day is an airport day.
It really is.
Every day has the same stringency as if you were going to the airport.
Yeah, because and the reason I had to stop doing it was because it would make me so upset turning up at the wrong place. I'd be like, I am unable to cope. Like, I shouldn't be at this meeting. Also, the meeting's ruined. Also, like, they're going to think I'm incredibly unprofessional. And then I'd, like, run and then turn up looking really bedraggled and really upset and, like, not really be able to focus and really angry at myself as well. You know, today it happened. I just laughed. I was like, oh, of course. And then went, turned up to the meeting, 20 minutes late. She knew that. She was absolutely fine. I was like, I'm really sorry. And I didn't, like, run. I just got there as quick as I could, had a really nice meeting, suddenly afterwards was like, that would not have happened when I was in my early 20s.
That is a huge step for you.
Is that subtle realization that nothing is as important as you think it is in terms of those things? Everyone's been late for stuff. No one's being like, well, that's the end of that, just because you're 20 minutes late or you turned up the wrong place. Like, it's absolutely fine.
Better to be like, arrive at it later, but it's like, here I am, I'm giving my 100%, rather than arriving in this like barrel of sweat. Self-hatred.
Too much emotion going there. So no one needs emotion. That in a meeting.
So everyone has to be like, take a breath. Yeah. Like, we're all good. Everybody, like...
It's fine. We're all adults here and adults are late. And I think that was a real... It's a real, real turning point there.
Well done, you.
Point is, witchcraft. Obviously, I went on a bit there.
I'd like to know if there's anything we can do to purify this room or begin this process. Or what do we do at the beginning?
We would be burning Palo Santo.
What's Palo Santo?
Palo Santo is... You can just buy it on the internet on Amazon for like £2. It's a herb that you burn and it cleanses. All of these things, whether or not you believe them to be like, oh, that's magic, or it's a psychological trick to help you, I don't think it matters. So it's like feng shui. Feng shui has, it's the art of rearranging your room and in your house so that energy flow is easier. And whether or not you believe in the energy flow bit, the actual stuff that you're doing will automatically make you feel better just psychologically. So it kind of almost doesn't matter. Like you always say, the magic is fast science.
No, yes,
science.
I do say that.
And that's
that
true.
That is my saying. I'm so glad it's caught on.
It's caught on. And and that is like before we knew about like how, well, like electricity and fire and all of that, it was all... We all knew about it, but it was magic.
Yes.
And I think all these things are, I think, probably psychological if you are more of a cynic. They're all good things to do. So it's cleansing or incense, any incense you have. Obviously, that is cleansing bad and negative energies, but it's also a really nice just psychological resetting. So if you're really stressed, it's the exact same as when I'm upset. Now, as we all know, I love baths. Now I'll go, I'm really stressed, I'm tense, I'm like unable to communicate correctly with anyone around me. I will go, take myself off, light some candles, get in a bath. I don't know if you have a morning routine. I don't, but I do know I feel better when I've like not woken up the time I'm supposed to leave and run out the house. So the witchcraft thing is the exact same as that. Like, people will not turn their nose up at being like, every morning I have to have my coffee and I have to have my morning shower and I have to have that shower gel and I have to be on time for this bus. And if I don't, I'm all over the place. And you're not. You could do those the other way around. You could get different coffee, but you don't, because it's like almost like a little superstition thing of like, now I've set my day up.
Yes.
That's what witchcraft is. It's like, that is just a ritual. A morning shower is exactly the same as a spell or a ritual. It's just different words for it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I got so heavily into feng shui.
It's so great.
I love it. And you discovered that energy flows like between a door and a window. So you don't want your bed, you don't want a bed in between a door and a window.
Mm.
Because then you're, you know, in the middle of the energy. So you're like sort of tucked behind the door. So
great.
Like, or like just, you know, and then I looked at my my feng shui number, your Kua number, K-U-A. What do you think?
No idea.
Kua.
Kua.
Your feng shui Kua number tells you lots of things about yourself, but like which way your head should be facing, like north, east, south, or west. And you work it out by the last two digits of the year of your birth.
Mm.
Yep. Then make that into a single digit. So add them together.
Well, what if when you add them, it's a double digit? Then you add that. So it's 88, and it was 8 plus 8 is 16, yep. Then it'd be 6 plus 1 is 7. Say.
If it was, you got 19.
9 and 1 is 10, 1 and 0 is 1.
Oh, no, it's impossible to get 19 because, guys, do your own math.
Do your own math.
Do it yourself.
Sort it out.
Got that number?
Yes.
And then you add 5.
Oh, okay. Yes.
And that is your number.
No, it's not 12. 12 is my favourite number.
Hooray!
How is it 12? That's so creepy.
And now off you go look up what 12
means.
Not right now.
Oh, I want to do it now. I won't.
You have time because you need to deep dive in.
Okay, great. And is that like a personality character number?
It's character. It's like things that you should definitely have in your house. Should you have more wood? Should you have more water? Should you have more
I always need more wood in my house.
They're very into wood.
Yes,
like you
logs.
Have lots of wood.
Lots of logs.
Don't have a mirror facing here. Never have a mirror facing the window.
Yes, because mirror like reflects the energy, doesn't it? And sends it back out.
The mirror should ideally be across from a wall that has like stuff on it. So if you have a vision board.
We did this in our house because I was like, it must reflect something beautiful.
Yes.
Like the river. The river, but all we could find was like the best bit of the car park. The nicest
and
bit.
And that's enough because that will reflect back.
Oh my
so
God.
So if you have a negative.
I'm the best bit of the car park.
Yes, you are. Yeah. And if you're reflecting back a negative thing, all that's doing is doubling the negativity.
Oh my God. See, all of this stuff as well, I think it's just like whether or not that is actually a thing, it just helps you, doesn't it? It helps you have some order to your life.
Yes.
It also makes your room look nice.
It makes your room look nice.
And
it
more
makes
spacious.
You be like, I've put some thought into these things and I have done it and this has given me clarity and order.
And a witch would say all of the thought that you put in, you've given that thing power. Like there's this really nice thing that someone told me about like baking. So that's why I was like, making jam can be a witch thing too. But if you like the act of making a cake or making a thing for someone is the simplest form of spell, like because you put thought and love into a birthday cake, hopefully, mm-hmm. or you put thought and time into making someone a present. And that is a type of magic, which I think is really lovely. The idea of like, and that's the same with like, yeah, your room, you've put magic into your room because you've given it some thought. Say you're having a Halloween party. I mean, obviously you probably will have had it last weekend, but say you're having any party, quite a fun trick that I found is to catch any negativity anyone may be bringing into your space. You just leave a glass of water near the entrance to your home or apartment, and the water is there to catch and absorb negative entities brought by knowing guests. And you can also place a glass of water above your fridge or under your bed for protection and cleansing.
Should you keep it there all the time?
During the party.
Oh, God.
So when people walk in, they will feel cleansed, like water.
Oh, great. Do we throw it away at the end?
Pour it somewhere. Pour it down the toilet. Who cares? Because it's negativity. Just flush it away.
It's gone.
Flush it away. And I love it as well. Like, another thing is about cleansing. This is an example of something that, like, I just don't think I'd ever do. A glass of water, I might actually think to do that and be like, let's just see if that works. Why not? Let's try it out. Whereas you can also, if you feel like your energy is like pretty low, you can take an egg and you sweep it through your aura, moving all the way from the top of your head to your feet. Make sure you get the palms, arms, legs and soles of your feet, and then you crack the egg into a glass of water, leaving it under your bed for 24 hours to absorb all the negative energy, and then you dispose of the egg the next day. Also, I think one of the most witchy things you can possibly do, which is what is the only thing that I started doing after reading all about it, was tarot cards. Mm-hmm. Because also they're really like, you bring tarot cards out at a party, witch or not, people are getting into it. Like, that is a fun party. We did it at our friend's birthday a few years ago, and I got so drunk and set myself on fire and had to get an Uber home. But before that point, there was some real fun tarot card readings going on.
If you buy yourself a pack of tarot cards, they come with a book.
Oh, mine don't.
You haven't got a book?
No.
Just got a book.
Just the cards.
God.
Well, get a book as well, I guess. Get a book. Because it's so much nicer to have a book than to Google. So much nicer.
Yeah. Have a book, then you flip to the different page, you read the book, and then it has all this stuff on it. And my experience of doing people's tarot, and I love it. Because people, it's just a form of therapy. It's people putting all their emotion into a card and telling you what's there.
Yeah, finding their own links.
Yes.
And I think that thing again, if regardless of being a magic or a psychological trick, mm-hmm. it just again, like, so like every kind of few months I'd be like, oh, I quite fancy doing a tarot card thing. I'll do it for my sister when I live with her, or I'll do it for me as well. Dim light, candle, have a go. And then the questions that I'm asking it remind me of where I am, like what I actually want, what I'm really interested in. Because mm-hmm, I can go mm-hmm. through life being like, I actually am real career-based, and actually what I'm thinking really deep down is something else. And what I really want is this, or whatever. And then whatever comes back doesn't kind of matter what the answer is, although it is always really interesting. It's how you respond to the answer, isn't it? It's how you kind of go, I'm going to change. It's like horoscopes.
The water above the door I mean, safely, next the water above the fridge. So the water next to the door, the water above the fridge, the egg and a glass of water under your bed are all sort of an excuse to acknowledge a negative thing.
Absolutely.
Now we're at a party with a glass of water fridge and we can all be like, whoa, 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 get that negativity into that glass of water.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, now we've just sort of got an expression for this thing. Like, however silly you might feel like rolling an egg, rolling an egg up and down yourself.
Yeah.
You're still like, this is a thing I've done to get something out inside of me, out of me, and I've acknowledged it. And the tarot cards, they're like asking you a question, it inherently feels silly, but so people, you know, ask quite personal things with the acknowledgement that it's like, it is just some tarot cards, and yet you, it always gives back answers that you're like, oh gosh,
that does sound like
my housemate asked, like, where is my love life going this year? And he had just started going out with a girl, and so I initially was like, okay, let's do the reading, but I just, the cards want you to be aware that asking that question does not suggest that you haven't said, what's my relationship with
so-and-so
going to be like?
Yeah.
You asked what your love life is going to be like, so I just want to flag that to you, like, how you've worded that.
Yeah.
And every single, literally every single one of the cards was like, perhaps moving on alone and working out who you are.
Very interesting.
And it was all like, a man walks alone on a journey, a knight returns alone from a journey.
There is no woman with him.
Somebody needs to work something out before they can. And it was just, and I was like, and he came away being like, I obviously do need to work things out. You don't ask questions about areas that you feel safe and confident and good with. You ask the places that you are, that are at the forefront of your mind. And so it makes you, it forces you to ask those questions. When someone says, like, what do you want to ask the tarot cards? You're like, ooh.
Yeah.
You're not going to waste it.
And then
it.
You go to the one that you really want to know.
You don't want to waste, like, it on something that you do know the answer to.
Yeah. Those little things like tarot cards and cleansing, and obviously the egg thing is over the top, but things like meditation is a form of cleansing, witches do that as well. Like, 10 minutes of meditation a day is really difficult to get in, but the people that I know who have actually successfully done it, it's changed their lives, because we all need to feel like we have control and there's something else operating that isn't just like, this is it. There has to be other ways that we...
This is just spiralling chaos and the planet is just going, you know, spiralling, and we're just on a rock in space and, oh God.
Yeah.
You've got to, like...
There needs to be order.
Control, and yeah. And I think those things about, like, a seance or any of those sorts of clairvoyants or anybody who are all sort of fraudsters. I'm like, if you get on the barge, have your tarot read with an open mind, you will come away, you know, sort of improved by it, because you don't have to do very much for me to say, like, okay, so there's something here, there's something negative that's really holding you back. The cards are telling me that. What do you think that is? And then you'll just tell me.
Tell me, exactly.
And then you're like, and the cards knew that that was there? Yeah. I'm like, yes, they did. And you'll be like, here's somebody that's really positive. You're like, who's that? And you're like, that's my friend Brian.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is useful to do if you are interested in, like, yeah, witching up your life is knowing where the moon is, like knowing what moon phases are, having a look at what those moon phases broadly mean. And then it gives you, like, a nice structure to your kind of weeks and months and year. So there's, like, I mean, witches call them esbats, but they're like, every full moon is an esbat. There are certain times when it's better to do certain things. And obviously for witches, that will be way more specific, like banish negativity during a new moon, etc. And you're maybe not going to be banishing any negativity because you're just kind of, like, interested in general. But there's quite a few quite interesting studies. I was talking, separate to witchcraft, I did an article about hormones and mood. And one of the women who's done this app about women's hormones, the idea is that it's helpful and will help women track their mood. And then we'll also, you can opt in and be part of a big pull-in of data so we can see whether there are, like, spikes on certain days.
Amazing.
That loads of women are having. Saying, there's some research that was done that then, because it's men and because also you need money to research and because who's going to research this, women's moods and the moon, they found very little correlation, but so little has been done on it that this woman was like, I'm quite interested to know if there is any sort of like correlation. How cool would it be if there was? And certainly there are times of the month, and not just because of periods, that all people will, like, you know, the crime rate goes up a little bit.
The tides are controlled by the moon. We're all fine with that. We're all like, that water will come in and then out again. We can accept that the sea will move based on the moon. Like, also maybe that's having an effect on Earth, however minimal, and we may not be able to feel it.
It's like the whole aura thing. Like, the science behind the aura thing is that all living things do have an electromagnetic field. Unfortunately, I do think, when I was looking into it, that it is a little bit less than the man that read my aura would have me believe, and he did say I was very scientific and logical. So
what colour did he say your aura was?
Well, the thing is, it was perfect for ages. He had this cool screen and it was a picture of me, and then I put my hands on this device and then it would read the kind of electromagnetic pulse off my hands and then would transfer it into a visual image of an aura and colours. And it was creative and scatty and like all of this stuff that was very me for ages. And then I think I must have like got a bit hot or something, and then it suddenly went scientific logic, and that's when he took the photo, and I was like, oh, you've, it was so right the whole time. Yeah. We were talking, and you've just done a snapshot that is so wrong. But again, there's not any scientific evidence to say that it's a huge amount, but there certainly is some sort of electromagnetic field. All of the atoms in your body are reacting with each other with heat and everything. It gives off something, a tiny little thing. So there is a kernel of truth in that. Mm-hmm. And depending on how, like the rate at which all of your molecules and everything are reacting, you may be more hormonal. You may be more of this sort of personality. You may be more anxious. So you are actually hotter because you're sweating because you're anxious. So actually it all links a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously nobody's going to pay to be like, I wonder if women are like the moon, over like, let's cure cancer. But there's one thing that's nice that you can maybe take home is that on a new moon and a full moon, good time to cleanse your space. So that obviously you can burn sage, or it just means like tidying. And it's a good time to like take stock of where you're at. And also it's quite nice. Whenever I see a full moon, I'm always like, ah, I should think about clearing stuff and like get rid of any dead weight. Regardless of what that means, I just love the idea that I look at a moon and I'm like, right, oh, it's time to clear stuff out. Because look, it's full moon.
Yeah.
Like so nice. And there's a lot of apps as well that you can get which will just show you what like the moon phases.
It feels good and excited. It feels good to be like in tune with something and yeah, to be like, yes. However, you know, however psychological or placebo that thing is, you know, that when you've some, all the travel things have gone wrong and you've booked something completely by accident, you've booked the train in the wrong direction.
Mercury's in retrograde.
And then you Google it.
It happens
like,
every
and
time.
You Google it and you're like, oh my God, is Mercury in retrograde? And you Google it and it is. And you're like, is. I knew it.
Because it's all about communication. There's a communication and technology going wrong and like little bitty things that you just can't quite seem to nail. And it happens every time. It's so weird.
And then just now I was thinking, I wonder if it is. And I was like, I know it's not. And then I Googled and it's not.
Yeah, I don't feel it is.
It's not because it's, I'm fine.
You said, I think, in your show about, you definitely did, about how just women just want to go outside and look at the moon a lot. And I think leaning into that and not feeling silly about that and being like, why is it that women are way more interested in that sort of stuff than on the whole men are? I don't know, but it's nice to think that there's some connection there. Men have always been frightened of women because of, you know, historically, because, you know, we bleed every month and also we create life. And when they didn't realise that obviously there was a correlation between sex and creating life, we were goddesses. And the fact that, you know, 28 days of a menstrual cycle, 28 days of a moon cycle often, it's there's all this stuff that you're like, regardless of whether it's true or not, it just makes me feel happier that there may be a connection. And I like to think, whenever I see a full moon, I'll get my affairs in order. Like that, I like that rather than it's a note in my diary. That's way more boring.
Yeah. The moon thing is that women have been given the space to love the moon because we've been told we're very, you know, that's when the witching stuff is, period thing. Like that's the moon is all.
So it's acceptable for us to love the moon.
Whereas my, at the end of my show, my badges were just pictures of the moon. And I had a lot of girls saying like, I love the moon, but I also had a lot of men very secretly being like, I love the moon as well, as they took a badge.
Lovely.
So I think it's something that just like men aren't given that space to express it in that like quite such an intense fangirl.
Of course,
way.
Of course. And that's why witchcraft is such a great space for it, because I think then it's like witchcraft, you think of a woman. And what yes. other faiths do we have where we immediately just think of a woman? Mm-hmm. There's so few. And so that is the other thing, which is it's quite empowering as a thing. Mm. And regardless of whether you are one or you aren't, or you want to be a witch or you don't, anything that you can do that empowers yourself, anything that you can do that makes yourself feel better and more able, more confident, whether that's meditation, whether that's like a visualization, whether that's deep breathing before you go into a meeting because you're like, I was late and should I just run in or should I just actually compose myself and then enter that room with the energy that I wish to bring into that room, that is witchcraft. Also, there's the thing about looking after the natural world is very important as well. Stupid things like switching your detergents to e-cover, like that's a very like environmentally friendly thing. Just being aware of the natural world and being aware to take care of things and being interested in it and being aware of yourself, your own fluctuations, all of that is very empowering and all of that is witchcraft.
It's like that sort of dual thought that you can hold both those ideas very strongly in your mind at the same time. One is the total acknowledgement that this is logically nonsense.
Perhaps.
And also 100% believe. You can get it heavily into horoscopes while having that, like, not a cynical edge, but, you know, acknowledging, be like, yeah, I get it. It's just a written down horoscope. I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm also totally in. I met a woman once on my first day of work. She just turned to me and was like, what's your star sign? And I told, I'm a Virgo. And this is our opening conversation. And then she read my horoscope to me and I burst into tears. And I'm like, well, here we are. And there are so many studies into the psychology of being told something or being given a space to be like, yes, actually, I am quite in tune with my body. Yes, I do like the moon. Yes, thank you very much. You know, there are these various studies where people, 100 people walk into a room and they sit down on a chair and the person at the front says, on your chair in an envelope. They've been totally chosen, sat at random, this filed in. On your chair is a Word document with your personality type written on it.
Yeah.
And people read it and you can see everyone be like, oh my God, how did they know? How did I know to sit on this chair? And they say, put them back in the envelopes, pass them around.
The same ones.
And they get them back. It's because every single one in the room was the same.
Yeah.
But the feeling in somebody of being seen and like feeling in control and, you know, those are such powerful emotions.
So important.
That like you can know that they are not magic.
Yeah.
And also that they are magic.
Yes, absolutely. Like, so there's, I was going to say a couple of like little spells, like fun, like a simple candle magic spell, which basically is the complete, is everything that a spell is. And you can add as many bells and whistles to it as you like, and witches will do that. But the only reason that they will is to help with focus.
Focus.
So the whole point of magic is to focus. So if a spell could literally be you repeating what you want over and over in your head until you get it. That's basically what a spell is. Because, like you say, regardless of whether it's real magic or not, you repeating that, I have that, I am the CEO of my company, I am a journalist, I have a successful blog, I have love, I have friends, I have the confidence to go to parties when I'm frightened. That will subtly change your behaviour because it changes your brain chemistry because suddenly your brain subconsciously is focused on this thing, which it wasn't before. So regardless of how you think about what magic is, that is a psychological trick that they use with athletes, that they use with everybody. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing that does happen. The power of positive thinking is a thing. It's scientifically proven. But with a magic spell, getting into the kind of like slight like witchy vibe just helps you concentrate rather than like doing it on a bus. And you're just like, because you're not going to focus more than you are in a dimly lit room with like a white candle and you're whispering over it.
There is no difference between those like confidence podcasts of like a furious American man shouting, I am powerful, I am confident, to you whispering, I am powerful.
Yes.
In a bedroom with a candle. Like they of are the course. Same thing.
The most simple and the oldest spell in the entire world is the candles on a birthday cake, blowing it out and making a wish. That's the oldest spell. That's when you're a kid. I remember once, genuinely, my wish was I want 10 Dairy Milk chocolate bars. And I remember being like, and I just was so like, oh my God, that's all I want. Like, and of course, in my life, I will have eaten 10 Dairy Milk chocolate bars. I got my wish.
You got your wish.
But the idea of holding that, like the power of the birthday candle wish when you're like a little kid, you lose it. Like we've been saying all the way through, like that candle wish is so important because it shows you a mirror of what you want.
You were asked to put it into words and that you maybe did not know was your wish.
And then because it's only a birthday, it's a once a year thing, you will naturally forget it. But a spell would be something that you would repeat until it happens because it's a way of telling your brain to focus on it. So you won't forget it. So if you're doing it every week, then it's something that your subconsciously behavior and everything, you're now going to start making it happen yourself. And it's a reminder to yourself that it's going to happen. So the most simple spell is like literally get like a white candle, you know, have some nice atmosphere. Don't just do it again on a, don't light a candle on a boss, guys. A white candle, you write out the thing that you want as if you already have it. So like, I am a, I have a. People say look into the flame. I'd say sometimes it hurts your eyes. Just really focus on what you want. Repeat the thing that you want. Visualize it happening. Visualize like you actually doing that thing. You are doing that thing. It's happening. Keep thinking it, keep thinking it, keep thinking it. You can either burn the affirmation or you can put it under the candle. If you burn it, then each time you repeat the spell, keep writing out and burning it. If you don't, just keep it underneath and then every time you light the candle, it will kind of work. And you just keep thinking it and you do it like every day, every night. You can do it every week if you wanted until you get that thing. And then the other one, which I thought was really cool. So say if someone is like annoying you and you want them to like just chill out, you write their name and you just put their name in the freezer. And if you want someone to warm up, you put them in the oven. A non-lit oven. Absolutely wouldn't solve. And I forgot to say two main things. So if you have an idea in your head of something that you would write down on that piece of paper.
These are the two rules of witchcraft.
Yes, I think there's such a diversity in the faith and such a different kind of ways of doing it. But this is something that I think is very common in the Western way of looking at it, is that whatever you put out into the universe, whether that be a spell, whether that be something nice that you say to somebody, something horrible you say to someone, that will come back to you three times. So that you, it's not in your interest to do a horrible spell. Why would you? You can, but you'd be an idiot.
Okay.
Ever mind the rule of three, what ye send out comes back to thee. It's something like, there's like a big poem that's called the Wiccan R-E-D-E, and I don't know how to pronounce that word, and it's like, it's got this really great verse in it which has basically the building blocks of Wicca, but also a lot about what witchcraft actually do. It's all in rhyme, because every spell should be spoken in rhyme, because it's easier to focus on when it's rhymed. Our brains are more attuned to that lovely melodic kind of rhythm. So you can always do that, make your affirmation rhyme. And then the other thing, which is an harm none, do what you will, which is like, literally, do whatever you want as long as it doesn't harm people. But obviously both of those rules interact with each other, because why would you do something? Because it would come back to you. Eight words the Wiccan reed fulfill, and it harm none, do what ye will. I apologise if it's like read, not
read.
I think it's read. So they're the kind of two things that you have to remember. Of course people are like, oh, you can send a curse. You could, but you have a right shit time, so don't. And love spells and things like that. You should never do a spell on somebody that's going to be controlling their thoughts. You should always do the magic on you. So that's the whole point. Like we've literally just been saying, the psychological tricks and psychological things to help yourself. So if you want something, you bring it to yourself. If you want it to go, you push it away from yourself. You can't make someone else fall in love with you. And if you did and it was successful, they would be having a horrible time, because that's not what they wanted. But you can attract love to yourself.
Yes.
So if you wanted to do that simple candle spell that I said and be like, I found love, great. But not, I found love with Gary, that man round the corner, because Gary, the man round the corner, doesn't need a spell. He will come to you if you attract love. He'll be there if he was right for you. Mm-hmm. If he's not right for you, don't force him to, because no one wants that.
Don't force Gary's hand.
I'm annoyed that I said the two rules at the end, but maybe I'll
I think they were good, because we understood them
in the context of everything else.
We wouldn't have understood them at the beginning. I'm going to go crack an egg, put it under
crack
my bed
an egg,
tonight.
Put it under your... not after you've rubbed it over your palms and your feet.
All around my aura.
All around your aura.
Right, rub it everywhere.
Rub it everywhere. And not actually rubbing it, you're doing it just like...
Rolling?
Like you're
is it
over.
Touching me?
No, because it's in your aura, which is around you.
Oh, God, there's so much to learn.
It's so tricky. I hope you enjoyed that. It was a bit of a change, but oh, my God, we both bloody love witchcraft, and we hope you do as well. It's fascinating.
I just want to do a Halloween-y one, and also I think it's something I care very passionately about and I really want to get into.
If I said something wrong, which I absolutely will have done, because I'm not a witch and I'm sort of doing this on the fly, please message me, and I'm very, very sorry, and maybe do it like privately, maybe like email us. Nobody
call her out publicly.
No,
please,
because
I tried. Hang her out to dry.
I tried hard, and I love everybody, but I will have probably mispronounced something.
Please be nice to us, because everything that you put into the world will
come back to you three times. So do it with love and trust. Perfect love and perfect trust. Email us nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com to shout at me. Tweet us @nobodypanicpod or @StevieM. The S is a five.
@TessaCoates.
Very mystical from Tessa there. Very mystical.
Quite mystical that some of my first letters can go into my last letters.
Yeah, oh, very good. That is quite mystical.
Bit
I'm
mystical.
Sure.
I've got an S spare, and that's for you, because you've got a 5 instead of an S.
Oh, my God, thank you so much for giving me your S.
You're welcome.
Psychologically and magically. Thank you so much, and have a really great week. Have a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Have fun.
Happy Samhain.
Samhain.
Good luck.
Pop a glass of water. Pop someone's name in the fridge. Do that candle spell. Read some tarot cards. Have a great time.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.